Hey everybody, welcome to the Rust is Gold Racing Podcast. We're back here at Rust is Gold Coffee in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I am Steve Phoenix Mays. I've got Tyson Hollywood Garcia, Chris Sparky Franco, and we got a Duke City Rocker here with us. Devin's going to join us today, and we're going to be trying something a little bit different. Got some new equipment, so we're going to be trying that out. It's going to be a short episode. Gonna be talking about some vintage stuff and some new motorcycles that are coming out.
Down the way, not too far, an old time rockabilly coffee bar, wrecking machine tucked in the back, Elvis singing about a Cadillac. I'm on a BSA, been riding all day, leathers on, goggles too, triumphing and knowing what you wanna do. My boys are on Ducatis, happy now all the while. Yeah, these are rockers, it's this.
Let's ride. What's going on, guys? Hey, Chris, what's going on? Tell us what's happening.
Oh, not much, man. Just got back from being out of town in Roswell. I get to turn around and go back again on Monday. Took my, this past weekend, I took my bike and Deanna's bike down to Cruz's, go to the coffee shop, then go right up to Sparky's and Hatch. And I got on my Guzzi, I got 2 blocks away from my mother-in-law's house, and the clutch cable snapped on me.
Ooh.
So I turn around, load it back up truck, and I got to follow her on her Harley. I was in my truck right behind her.
You've been working on that Harley of Deanna's for how long?
Ah, gosh, we've had it for 2.5-3 years now. And Ronnie was painting the tank. It took Ronnie about like 9-10 months to get the tank painted. And it's just kind of sitting on the back burner, but it's up and running. The thing rode to Hatch, no problem. My hand, I got to ride one stretch, so my hand went numb there for a while. So I said, here, you can have your Harley back.
Hydraulic clutch, right?
Nope.
Oh, wow. Well,
no.
I thought it was.
No, this is an 88 Sportster Evo.
Okay. Yeah, those are tough.
Yep, still mechanical. No, been doing good.
So what's going on with you, Tyson? Anything new happening?
A little identity theft this way, and just the same old same.
That's why you don't put your credit card on those websites, dude.
Okay.
I know they say they're going to send you some pills, but just don't trust them.
Or operate a business, for that matter.
Pills.
So what kind of pills are you taking, dude?
I don't know.
Tell me your experience with pills and identity theft.
I think he's talking about blue pills.
I'm talking about blue pills.
How old are you, man?
Don't worry about it.
You need blue pills at your age?
I need blue pills. I need these little pink ones that, make me focus.
You need estrogen pills.
Yeah, that. Okay. That too. A little too manly for you guys.
It's all about the experience.
Yeah. So what I wanted to do in this quick, short episode is kind of just talk about bikes that we've been working on, kind of where they're at, maybe some problems we've run into. Talk to Devin about a couple of the bikes that he's been building. I know he's got two that he's working on right now, I think. Right, Dev?
No, I've got so many projects. I've got 8 bikes at my house right now.
Tell us what you got.
They're all projects. So the one on the bench right now is actually, it's not mine, it's my buddy Adrian's. But that's a 72 CB354 that just went front over end, so kind of working on that one a little bit. But in my living room, I've got a 1972 LS2 100 twin Yamaha, little 100 twin two-stroke. Just ripped out the motor on that, getting ready to yank that. Problem with that thing is you can't find parts, you can't find seals, everything has to be made.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in the process of working on that. And then I've got a 1969 CB350 twin. And that one's all right, it runs. It needs, some minor things, mainly just timing issues. I want to throw the electronic ignition on that.
Cool.
See if that fixes some of my timing problems. But then I've got 1978 CX500 Pearl. She's beautiful. Her paint's falling off, but she's still pretty.
I gotta talk about the CX500 for just a second, because that was the first like cafe racer build that I ever did, was a CX500. And they call it
plastic maggot.
The plastic maggot, because it's like a big,
stock, they look ugly as sin.
Right? Yeah. And when I started working on mine, and I was like doing some research, and people were talking about it online, they're like, oh God, that's the ugliest bike. Never make a cafe racer out of that bike. It's slow, blah, 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 blah. But I did it anyway because it was a unique looking bike, and I always liked the way it had that Guzzi kind of look with the
tank.
With the cylinders. It looks like a Guzzi.
Yep.
And they were easy to come by because there was a billion of them out there, right?
Yep.
But your CX is the fastest fucking bike I've ever seen, the, you know, CX 500. I don't know what you did to that bike. That bike is so freaking fast. I got on that bike and rode it, and it's just, it's scary fast.
It's, yeah, no, she's amazing. I actually got that bike from one of Tyson's old friends. Yeah, I purchased that thing, and when I got it, somebody had taken a wire brush to it, trying to make this like rusted, like wired steel look to it. It was, God, it was hideous. Absolutely hideous. Anyways, I yanked every single nut and bolt off that bike, completely tore apart the motor, and started from ground up. Frame, tank, made new cowl with a little bit of help from my buddy Tyson Ratlift. He helped me out with some of the fabrication on it, but it was a fun build, and I just absolutely love that bike. I mean, I've had a couple buyers that, you know, had come up and offered me some, you know, pretty reasonable prices on it, but I still can't find
is
myself.
That, is that the one? Is that the keeper? Is that the one?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to have that that seller's remorse, you know, like yeah. That one bike that I shouldn't have got rid of. But anyways, I'm in no hurry to sell her because she's absolutely fantastic, fun, and scary as shit at the same time. So
the cool thing is too is, you know, after I picked up that bike from my former friend, like you were saying, I was amazed how fast like the CX actually was, because it was pretty stripped down. Like they'd taken off all that junk off that bike, kind of hacked up the frame a little bit, but I mean, even as it sat, with the drive, you know, the drive shaft and everything, I was kind of shocked at how quick that bike was. And I thought once you stripped it down, you know, it could get that much quicker. And the ironic thing is after you'd built that bike, I mean, I hardly saw any CXs around at all, right? And
yep.
It was a reasonable price when we first got it. But after you had built that, I started seeing CXs pop up left and right.
Oh, yeah.
Not only in Albuquerque, but, you know, like all over the internet.
All over the media,
yeah.
Absolutely.
And people started buying those up. It was like the CB. Mm-hmm. You know how everyone jumped on the CB5 and then the 3s and then the 7s and everyone bought them out? The same thing kind of happened with the CX.
Yeah, yeah. CX is a hot one right now, especially monoshocking it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's yep. It's kind of strange because when I first built mine, it was like 6-7 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it just exploded. But the same thing happened with Baragos, right, Chris?
Yeah,
I mean,
definitely.
Like, that was another nasty bike to turn into a cafe race, and everybody was like down talking it and like, nah, that's an ugly bike, blah, blah, blah. But you did an amazing job on yours. I mean, what did you do with yours?
That one, I actually copied Greg Hageman. Greg Hageman was the first one to make a cafe racer out of it. And I just kind of, from pictures he had online, I just kind of copied what he did. Looked at pictures, built a, took off the subframe, built a complete custom subframe for it, got a Benelli Mojave tank that I somehow got really lucky on eBay for a dirt cheap price. And
that
was already
a great tank.
Already chrome plated, it's a little shiny, beautiful bike. And some radio DJ out of LA wanted it, so he got sold to him.
Yeah, nice. Which brings up an interesting point because, you know, we all have built and worked on vintage bikes for a while, so we know how finicky they can be, right?
Yep.
And a lot of people want a vintage bike and they want to ride it and they just don't know what it takes to keep it going. You know, it's like, oh, it's a great, cool looking bike. They don't know that, you know, you're going to have to be working on that thing, wrenching on it at least like once a week to
you
keep
have
it
that
running.
Patience.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If you don't have that patience, you should never own an old bike, a classic bike, anything like that.
Well, I think a lot of people too get this thought in their head too, that when they get one of these bikes, they're going to assume that it performs like a new modern day bike.
Yep. Exactly.
It's not going to happen, man.
Nope.
Yeah, even you, Tyson, you've been riding vintage bikes forever. You picked up a bike from Gramps, the CB, is it a 500?
Yeah,
you've been having issues with it, right?
I'm like,
what are you doing with that?
Know, it's there's simple things that always happen. You know, lithium batteries are supposed to be ideal. Lithium battery goes, wiring goes, you redo wiring, headlights, then, you know, it brings up a whole other set of issues.
Yep, I'll definitely
but, you know, I think, again, if you have the ability to have two or three bikes, I know not everyone can afford that, right? But if you have at least one or two, you can have like your daily, which I always recommend, and then you have your backup that you can wrench on. And that's part of the game. even like on a Sarah's 350 that we picked up, you know, not knowing its condition, thought it would be a great bike, pretty much has had to rewire and do all the electrical on it from the ground up. And you just know getting into the one of those bikes, this is what it's going to take. It's going to take a lot of time and a lot of money.
Yep, a lot of patience.
Patience.
Yeah.
You can't just expect to get on this bike right away and, you know, twist the throttle and expect it to go. It's not the way this thing works.
Right. Mostly, I mean, like we know, electrical, right, mm-hmm. on an old bike, carbs. On an old bike, those are really the two main things you're going to be dealing with. Devin, just like for people who are listening to this that are thinking that they would get into an old vintage bike and think it's cool, what kind of advice would you give somebody like that?
Good luck and good for you. The advice is patience. I mean, just have patience. Again, with all of the bikes that I have at my house, I love every single one of them almost as much as the next one. I mean, you've got your projects, and you've got the ones that, you know, you need to stay focused on and you know, keep that passion. But one thing that I've found that I need to continue to remember is start a project, finish the project. My problem is I've got so many of them that I pull the squirrel card, right? You know, you walk out and all of a sudden you see something, oh, squirrel, and you know, you start working on another one, then you come back to the one that's in the living room in your face, you know, you start working on that one a little bit. But just start the project, enjoy the project, have some patience and passion.
Are you sure? Because I think Chris and I have been subscribing to the belief that you start a project and then find another project and then find another project.
Yeah,
because we got like three or four projects right now.
That's my various states of disassembly.
Or even better, it's like somebody else that we know, you start a project, you halfway do it, and you pawn it off on somebody else. And then
I don't know who you're talking about.
And then get stuck with the big project, right? But yeah, you know, I think it's a lot of the guests that we've had in here. I always like talking to some of our older guests. We had Gary Kyle in here the other day. Susan Bryant's dad was in here. We've had Ronnie in here. And the cool thing about all of these guys is they all have this kind of Zen Yoda aspect to building and riding bikes. And for them, you get to that certain point where you're like, you know, whatever is going to happen is going to happen. And you don't stress about it, and you don't build a bike so you could be out there Friday night hopping from bar to bar. You build a bike so you can like enjoy it, right? Yep. And not only, I don't think only enjoy that bike, but enjoy that process.
Yeah.
And all these old timers will tell you that. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why they keep doing it. They enjoy that process, and maybe even to give them an excuse to keep wrenching.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Know? I've waited for so long to have the ability to have a motorcycle stripped down in my living room so I can sit on my couch, you know, have a beer on my coffee table and just sit there and like just watch and just, you know,
just
think
wait
about
for something to pop up.
Yeah, think next about thing what you're do. You know, what you're gonna work on next, you know, just give yourself some more ideas. Sit there and, you know, just I don't know.
I think too, like back when I was younger, you know, working on bikes, even dirt bikes as a kid, you know, you wanna get in a rush to get it done, and you wanna get in a rush to like get out there and start riding it. And you always start making mistakes.
Absolutely.
And I think as you get a little bit older, and if you have that possibility of keeping your bike in your living room, like sleeping on things has been such a help for me.
Definitely.
Being able, like, you come across an issue, something's going to come up, you're going to strip a bolt, wiring isn't working, something like that.
Put it down.
And then put it down and walk away from it and think about it, or even like fabbing parts, right? Yep. How am I going to fab this up? Nothing's matching up. Sit there, look at it, sleep on it for two or three nights, and then come back to it.
Yep.
Man,
that's the only way to do it.
It's the only way to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think that's what I'm saying, patience.
Yeah, I think that's why Steve and I think all of us have 10 different projects.
That's exactly what I was
saying. Is because you'll start working on one thing, you get frustrated, you're like, you know what, I'm going to take a step back, I'm going to go work on this one now.
Yeah. And
that's how it works.
That helps me.
It really does.
Oh, because if I get stuck on a thing, I can move on to a different one.
Yep.
And maybe that problem's not as tricky, you know?
Yeah, and I'm just the type of person who I can't sit still. I have to be doing something. If my brain isn't working, I go insane.
Yeah.
Right.
So I love the problem solving.
Yep.
So speaking of reliability, it's funny. When So yeah, everyone says get a new bike if you just don't want to deal with the reliability stuff. When we first were looking into our first Ural, and for those of you who don't know, Ural's this Russian sidecar rig. The Russians back in the 40s or 50s straight up stole, or they bought some BMW boxers, yeah. Boxer engines or bikes, and reverse engineered them. And so Ural made these bikes from the 50s all the way up until now. And up until 2003, I want to say, the design didn't change. It was exactly the same. And so when we were researching getting our first Ural, which was a 97 Ural Tourist 650.
I wanted to buy that so bad.
Oh man, I love that thing. Everyone online is like, don't ever buy a Ural. It is the most unreliable thing in the world. You're going to be working on this thing every weekend, all this stuff. You know, it's like, okay, yeah, that's fine. We want one. We're going to have fun on it. Funny enough, our 97 Ural was the most reliable bike I've ever owned.
Yep.
That thing ran. Every time I kicked it, it was startup. And if something didn't break, like my clutch cable, yeah. It was really easy to fix.
Well, I think the cool thing about the Ural, too, is they were simple, right?
The wiring was so incredibly simple.
It didn't have, like...
I got to show you the taillights on these, or the light bulbs on these things. The way that the... Just... If you can imagine, like, the symbol, like a taillight bulb, you push it in each twist, and they stay in there. Just if you can picture in your mind how those things look, how the plug looks, throw that out the window. Russians decide they don't even go that simple. They have like an L-shaped bar that it pushes into that the wire holds onto. And the wire isn't even soldered onto. The wire is like held on by a little piece of plastic. It's just, it's unbelievable.
Gravitational pull.
Basically. Pressure. It's pressure fitted.
I was trying to swap some light bulbs out. I saw that and I said, nope, I just put it back together. I was like, I'll deal with this later.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Yeah, they're so incredibly simple. They're wonderful. And they sound like a Folgers can of nuts and bolts jiggling when you start them up.
Yep.
And every single, at least the old ones, sound completely different. We sold that one a few years ago, and just this year we picked up another one, a 96, a year older than the one we had, but exactly the same red and everything.
Nice.
And same thing, just one kick, fires right up. We took that thing off road, used the hell out of it.
Awesome.
And it's great. It's the best dirt bike you can ever have because, yeah, I don't know, it's like an awkward ATV.
Yeah.
It's a fun bike.
Yep.
Yeah. I guess a question comes up then, if you haven't actually like spent time wrenching and working on bikes, do you get that same appreciation? You know, can you have that same appreciation for the bike and the method of it versus someone that kind of just picks up a new bike every other couple years?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
So I just a year and a half ago I picked up that the 2017 Honda Africa Twin. Mm-hmm. I love that thing. I'm in love, right? But when you talk about reliability and the appreciation of motorcycles and building motorcycles, I walked outside one day and I got on the bike. And I tried to start it, and I tried to start it, and I tried to start it, and it wouldn't kick over.
Oh, geez.
I'm thinking to myself, this is a brand new machine. What the hell's going on here, right? Well, I was running late for work, and what did I do? Pearl's been sitting there for a little while. I kind of felt bad because, you know.
No love.
Yeah, no love, you know, but she loves me. Oh, my goodness. I got on that thing. I touched that starter button, and she just started screaming. Took me to work, brought me back. I just had last year went through reconstructive knee surgery, and she sat for a year. Just sat for a year before I put her down. I changed the oil, made sure she was nice and lubricated, and you know, drained the fuel, whatever. Whenever I was ready to get back on, threw some fresh fuel in there, and she just started screaming, ready to go.
That's loyalty, man.
Yep. Yeah, and those of you that are listening that can't see Devin, when he talks about Pearl, as Sparky and Hollywood can attest, there's a glimmer in his eye.
His first love.
His first
real love.
You can tell he loves this bike.
I love that motorcycle. You're absolutely right.
You know, the thing that that we talk about a lot is, and like when people like Gary Kyle come on, or Gramps, or Rocker Ron, or any Scott Cloninger, you know, whenever these guys come on and they talk about old bikes, one of the biggest things that they talk about is that the vintage thing is still growing. You know, there's this debate still out there, you know, with everybody. Is it, you know, is the vintage cafe racer scene still happening? Is the is it turning into something else? You know, and I don't know, what do you guys think? Because Devin, you've been in the Duke City Rockers for a number of years, you're past president. Tyson was one of the early members of the Duke City Rockers. Chris has been, you know, a member of the Desert Ace Rockers. You know, I've been involved with the Rockers for years and building Cafe Racers. What do you guys think, honestly?
Look at the new lineup of bikes from the last 4 or 5 years.
Yep.
I mean, you know, I don't want to go back to Triumph.
No, of course you do.
But I mean, even their new lineup, it's they stay true to the vintage style.
Yep.
Well, you know, a few years ago, Kawasaki made their W650, mm-hmm. which was their version of a classic Triumph Bonneville. And that thing did sell very well when it came out because no one wanted to go back to that style. That was unfortunately, they put it out right before this stuff started mm-hmm. happening. I just saw the other day on Instagram that Kawasaki came out with their W850. Mm-hmm. So it is exactly like a Bonnie, an 850 Bonnie, and that thing is gorgeous.
Yeah.
It looks like it rolled right out of the 60s.
I mean, look at like the new Indian lineups that they're doing with mm-hmm. the Scramblers and the Trackers.
Those are like flat Tracker style.
Yeah, but they still have that vintage kind of look.
It's definitely vintage.
I don't see anything coming out that looks Cafe Racer.
Shoot, even a few years back, Yamaha came out with that, what is that, that SR500?
The SR500, yeah. That thumper?
Yeah. I mean, that has that vintage appeal and look mm-hmm. to it, mm-hmm. and sound, right? Yeah. I mean, it's super retro.
Yeah. Well, that was kind of my question, though. So, Tyson, you touched on it. You said, well, it's not really Cafe Racer style, but it is flat tracker, and it is vintage, and it is throwback. So, you think that's where we're at with all of it? It may not necessarily be, like, TT GP style
right.
motorcycle.
Right. It's
more of a like a hybrid, right?
It's exactly.
like
it's a street version of what those original trackers.
And yeah, I think that yeah. some of the manufacturers these days they have gone through and they wanted to bring back that retro race look, right? But I still think that out there. I mean, if you look on social media, Instagram, and all these yeah. other you know platforms, you can still see and find these people, and they're everywhere in every single country. You've got right. people building amazing machines, and yeah. with their own ideas, and every single one of them is a little bit different, and they're doing the same exact thing. I mean, they're stripping down these machines that were built for one thing and turning them into something completely different.
And see, I wonder if that's what we're seeing, though. I wonder if we're seeing more of it outside the United States, like it's around the world now. Like there's the Lost Boy Motorcycle Club in Mexico City. They're like full-on Cafe Racers, right?
Yeah,
and then there's the Hong Kong guys have been doing it forever. But I wonder if that's what we're seeing more of. It's like, you know, maybe it's plateaued here in the United States, but because of social media, we see it all over the world now, people doing it. And that's why it seems bigger. Because it is. Because mm-hmm. it's people all over the world doing it. Right.
You know, yeah, but you know, I will say in my ventures around the world, in some of the places that I've been, they've got different access to different bikes. The older bikes are more readily available. They've been made more because most of the population is they're all on these bikes, right? So you've got like. We had a motorcycle chop shop yard down in the South Valley here for many years, and you'd see those everywhere, right? So the parts were at your fingertips, right? I mean, there's all these badass vintage bikes all over the roads, mm-hmm. and you don't see that here in the States. You go down to Central America, you go over into Europe, you see that all yeah. over the place. I mean, it's a way of life. Riding motorcycles is a way of life. It's easier, it's more cost efficient, you know, and so they have the ability to do something like the Cafe Racer and be able to build that stuff. I mean, it's a little bit different here.
You know, like we talked about also, in some of these, you know, larger third world countries, places like India and parts like China, right, that is a way of life, and you start to see places and you or countries, and then you see other manufacturers that are specifically targeting those countries, like Royal Enfield. They just put out that new kind of Cafe Racer bike. Who do you think that's going to hit? Is it going to hit India or is it going to hit us? I guarantee you, India is going to swoop up on that market and you know, take that thing on full force.
Yeah, but what's the price on that bike? Do you guys know?
It's like $7,000. branding.
That's not
just geared
not
toward
cheap. Vintage. That's not cheap. Yeah,
it's not cheap.
That's geared toward an American market or a British market or true, Australian but, market,
I
think.
If you ask Enfield who their prime buyer is, I bet you they would say it's India.
That's a concept.
Mm. So yeah. Going on that, I think.
And not only that, but like the smaller displacement motors that Honda is coming out with and Yamaha.
Oh, yeah.
And who's buying up those? I guarantee you it's going to be a lot of.
Hey, it's hipsters.
It's
good thing you're gonna be smaller guys like me. I'm 5'7". I'm not a very big guy. I can't fit on a lot of new bikes. Honestly, I can't touch the ground. I have one leg up on the seat, and the other one's on the ground. So yeah, the smaller displacements. I like stuff sub 1,000 cc's, just because I can fit on it real well. I can ride it. We're talking about this BMW demo days. I'll take whatever one I can ride tomorrow.
The big wheel. I think Chris is bringing a big wheel.
I'll take the big wheel, man.
What was that one that they had that you like sat in it like a chair, and it had that weird cover on it?
Yeah.
And it had like almost a joystick.
Yeah. Talking about Tron Light Cycle?
Yeah, it looked like that. Yeah, it was like from they did a couple of demo years of that in the 80s, and I showed this Steve
the
that.
BMW?
Yeah. I'll find it again.
Yeah, you can find it.
That's their glory years.
Yeah, right.
So I would say though, with this upcoming, or how we're talking about the cafe racers or the style, what have you. I wouldn't necessarily say they're cafe racer styled or vintage styled. They're more, I'm sure you guys have heard of steampunk, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's another one called dieselpunk, which is like the 20s retro futurism stuff. Like, imagine like all the huge engine cars and like all the designs that they would draw up in the 20s. That's dieselpunk now. And I would say it's like kind of going towards that, because Royal Enfield, speaking of them, they have a concept bike that they just put out a couple days ago of their KX. So Royal Enfield's considering building a V-twin. And looking at it, I would say that straight up looks like something from the 20s. The 20s would say it was futuristic.
Kind of almost a tracker kind of style.
Like that's what I get, especially with that front end.
Neat.
Yeah.
It looks cool, man. I dig it.
Oh yeah, I would jump on
that. And that's their
this.
First twin motor that they've put out, right?
No, their newest ones, the new Continental GTs, are going to be twins.
Mm-hmm.
They've updated all their machining. They've updated a lot. I think their EFI. So this would be more or less the second twin, but this would be their first V-twin.
Okay.
Of the new company. The original, there used to be an original V-twin.
You know, it's funny you said that diesel punk, because
diesel punk.
When I was looking at the new Harley, the electric bike, right? And it's got that funky Battlestar Galactica Cylon looking shape. That actually kind of has that diesel punk shape you're talking about.
I would say it has, those are the lines we're starting to see is more of the diesel punk lines, but with there's the other one called cyberpunk, which is more like a future, like with the kind of like the Tron Light Cycle.
Yeah.
So they almost look like a combination of those two things.
Definitely.
On these new bikes that Harley's putting out, they have a real thin headlight, thin rectangular headlight. They're not doing big round ones anymore.
Except for
I thought it was super ugly when I first saw it, and I still think it's kind of ugly.
That's kind of a different version. The one that we saw it earlier looks, was like a flat gray on gray, and you couldn't see the tank and the headlight, and it just looked real.
Right.
That almost kind of looks like that Virago.
Kind of does.
That monoshock.
It's actually, I don't know.
That's kind of cool,
different.
But it's not, I don't know, man.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about it.
I'm not.
Different strokes.
Yeah.
Different strokes.
Well, that's
that's
the future.
If you want to talk about like bringing back bikes and stuff, I really dig what like the Race of Gentlemen, what those guys are doing in Jersey, and then they go out to California where they're taking old knuckleheads and old Indians and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Everything is, Model Ts and Model As, and the guys from Lowbrow that are doing those salt flat bikes on old Bonnevilles and stuff like that. I don't know. I mean, I don't think you can beat that, honestly.
Well, it's two different things.
I know it's two different things. And I know that the manufacturers, Harley, Triumph, BMW, they're going to be gearing towards buying and selling at a certain market. But I don't know, man. My heart's just not in that direction these days.
Yeah. You're talking about electric bikes and the new bikes, right?
Just even the designs and the concepts. I thought Bonneville did it, or Triumph did it right when they reintroduced the Bonneville and kept all the... the body style, the tank, kind of the same. I don't want to say it's disheartening, but I don't know. I'm not feeling all the new designs that a lot of the companies are putting out now.
Yeah.
I think it's something you'd have to see in person. You actually have to look at it, touch it, because just by looking at a picture, you can get your impression.
True.
Definitely have to look at it and see it. The Kawasaki's 900 that they put out, I think last year or the year before, the Cafe Racer. From the pictures I saw, I didn't like it. I thought that tail was way too high. RS Cycles over here actually has one. I checked it out, and in person, I liked it a lot more. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be one of the things you have to see in person before you can really tell. But I think that's going to be the new future is electric bikes.
Well, of course. I mean, everybody's sinking a lot of money into in marketing and a lot of R&D into it. I mean, imagine, you know, we might not think that new Harley looks amazing. It's not really our style. But think about 15 years ago, the idea of a bike like that being on the market.
Oh, yeah.
That would have kind of been unheard of, really. You know what I mean? It would have been really, like, forward thinking. So, you know, Zero has made, like, huge leaps and bounds in, like, range, right? Over 100 plus miles, you know, range on those batteries. Yeah. I mean, and that's pretty amazing if you think about it. Whether we like that style because we like gas and oil and, you know.
And we've got a biased opinion, too, though. I mean, we've been working on this stuff for a long time.
Right.
And you've got some of the younger generation. They come in, they see the new lines, the new designs, and... You know, new products coming out, it's the next best thing. They're going to eat it up.
True.
But,
well, and so Ural, I think just yesterday or today, they showed off their concept, the proof of concept for an electric Ural, which they took an existing Ural frame, a Ural bike, took the motor out and dropped an electric motor and battery pack in it. And everything else is the same except for what's right there in the middle, in between your legs. And they even said the acceleration is fast for a Ural. the top speed that they tested was 88 miles an hour. So they might go back to the future. If you gun it all the way, we'll see. But Ural's like I said before, they're old bikes. They're new old bikes. And it's funny that even they say the max recommended speed is 65 miles per hour. But for almost 900 pound bike with the side carbing and everything, it still has over 100 miles per charge. And so I think that's going to be something interesting to see. That's
pretty amazing.
Getting a vintage sidecar looking rig with an electric motor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Instant torque, you just hit that throttle and you go. There's no shifting, nothing involved. That would be something interesting. I think that would be an insane bike to take off-road. That's one thing Urals have going for them, is they're meant to be taken off-road and abused.
Yeah.
They're meant to be up in Siberia, up in the Ural Mountains in the winter to go from village to village. The only transportation you can get.
Well, I'm just glad I was able to see motorcycling in its heyday.
Yeah.
You know, when kids are taking dirt bikes out and mixing up two-stroke oil and gas on their own, and I don't know.
It's all relative.
Kids don't do that, right?
It's all relative to the time period you're in.
Yeah.
You know? Speaking of dirt bike, electric dirt bike, did you guys figure out that one that you were working on?
You know, I honestly haven't worked on it in a while. Got the motor in, and it's all set in the frame, and got it all planned out. I just haven't had time. Too many projects.
Yep.
Yeah, I'd love to get that done.
I know
done.
The feeling.
Now's kind of the time to do it, right?
Yeah, it's winter.
Yeah.
Now's the time to dig in.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not going to be leaking a bunch of gasoline all over the place. Why don't you bring it in the living room?
Yeah, because my wife will never let that happen, my friend. No. I've tried, believe me.
Maybe that's why I'm a bachelor.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, that's when it's good to be a bachelor.
Before we start to head out today, just want to tell a real quick story about Devin.
Boy.
Probably I'm excited. Let's do this.
He loves a good story. So I had known one of his friends from back in the day. We went to college together. And I think I was in my master's program, and I had my old Bonneville. And
are you sure you're a Marine? You're
I know,
confusing me now.
I know, getting an education and all. But she's like, oh yeah, my boyfriend, he got this brand new bike that he wants to start riding with a group of guys, and he just doesn't know a lot of guys that ride yet. And I was like, yeah, tell him to come out. We were still meeting up at Coffee at Don's, right? Which is this place that in case our listeners never went there. It was this coffee shop way up in the East Mountains, and every Sunday there would be motorcycle meetups there. You'd see all kinds of cool stuff, Norton's, BMW, Steve, you'd see some dual sports, some Urals, you'd see it all. A lot of cool vintage bikes and a lot of sport bikes and everything else. So, you know, a lot of us Rockers and DCR would meet up, and then we'd all ride up to the mountain together, hang out, get some coffee, and kind of go back and ranch or go our separate ways. And we meet up there, and it's like me and Ronnie, Rocker Ronnie, and Michelle, and I think Jesse was out there and a couple other guys, and we're getting ready to kind of like kickstart our bikes and hit the road. And I see Devin and Rachel pull up, and he has this Yamaha Intruder, right? Remember that bike?
It's a Suzuki Intruder.
And it was like purple. And I had this big back seat, and it had a little bit of rake on the front end, and he pulls up. And he pulls up next to us, and he's got this big old, it was your first helmet, right? It was that big old like half helmet.
And it was just like the soup bowl.
Yeah, total soup bowl, like a pudding bowl helmet, but it was like really big. And he had like his new jacket on, and he pulls up, and Rachel's on the back of it. And I looked at him, and I was like, oh, that's Devin. And he pulls up, and it looked just like, Jim Carrey and Dumb and Dumber. He pulls up next to Jeff Daniels. And we're all sitting in these like vintage bikes, and Devin pulls up on the Suzuki Intruder, and he's like, you know, looking at his mirror, and he's like, hey guys, how's it going? Anyone going for a ride today?
Yeah.
Tightening up his gloves, and I was like, yeah man, sure dude, we'll hit these mountains. And
I gotta pee, just do it.
Yeah, it was hilarious, keep dude. And I was like, yeah man, you can totally ride with us, it's super cool. I think I even have some pictures of you and your first bike, dude.
That was my first street bike, yeah.
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 You remember that?
I do. Actually have.
We might have to post some of those pictures with the podcast.
Yeah.
Well,
Devin's come a long way.
We could. Indeed.
Do you still have that helmet, by the way?
I do.
Was it naturally like two sizes too big?
No, it's just I've got a pinhead, and I got the extra small, but so it just like looked massive.
It's just the large shell with a bunch of foam in there.
Well, you remember like everyone got their first like retro helmet, and you buy it online, like, oh, this thing's gonna be so cool, and you get it home, you're
and
like,
it doesn't
I look
fit
like
right.
a freaking alien mm-hmm. right now.
Yeah, no, I did the same thing. I bought a 3/4 helmet. I thought it looked killer. You know, I even had it painted custom and everything. And it's like huge. I look like a giant Q-tip with it. It's just, you know, that's the way those things.
One of our rallies, I painted a helmet and bought the helmet at our helmet auction that I painted. And the thing was like three sizes too big. I wore the shit out of it. I didn't care.
Tell us about your truck real quick. We didn't get to talk about your truck. I know you're pretty psyched about it.
Oh, I love that thing. I still haven't come up with a name for her, but she's outside looking pretty. It's a 1972 Chevy pickup. It's got a 396 engine, the turbo 400 tranny. It's all the bells and whistles.
It's a beautiful truck, man.
Yeah, no, fully restored. It's something else.
It's killer.
That's one thing that I can say that I bought and I didn't build. But I'm still good with it.
72 is a great year. Bikes and cars and pickups, man. Can't go wrong.
Well, thanks for coming by, man.
Thanks for
having
me.
It's always cool hanging out with you. Hey, to our listeners, just real quick, we wanted to mention that we have a Patreon account now, which is a sponsorship account for podcasting. And we could really, really use your support. You know, we bought a bunch of new equipment, and it would help us if, you know, you want to support the podcast, you know, if you enjoy what we're doing, if you like what we're talking about, and you want to hear more of it. You want to see pictures of Devin on his first street bike and his shorty shorts, you know, we can post that stuff so we could use your support. If you go to Patreon, it's patreon.com/rigpodcast. So it's patreon.com/rigpodcast. If you go there, we got some cool things. There's three tiers to the sponsorship. We've got a casual listener tier. It's $1 an episode. You don't even have to pay until the podcast is uploaded and airs, so that's like your basic sponsorship. We have a vintage fan sponsorship, which is $5 an episode, which would be awesome. You know, it helps us, you know, with the hosting all of these podcasts is starting to, you know, add up. We're at 10 podcasts, you guys. Can you believe that?
Oh,
this is going to be 10.5 because this is kind of a half episode.
I think we deserve a beer.
Yeah. Help us buy a beer. Go to Patreon and support us. And then we got a top tier, which is the Rocker sponsorship, and that's $10 per episode. You know, you can come and we're going to have some special things there. You know, we have a bunch of cool swag like mugs and hats and shirts and stuff. So if you want to go check it out, we'd really appreciate it. And we are doing a podcast from Sandia BMW tomorrow. They're having their demo day, so we're going to talk to Chris Ronstorp and get some news about new BMW that are going to be coming out, and see what's happening over there. We'll report back on that after the podcast. So thanks again. We appreciate all of our listeners. We've been getting some feedback, and you all seem to like what we're doing. So send us more feedback and spread the word. Share us on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. It really helps when you share this. We get more people coming to the page, and we get more listeners, and it really helps us. So have a good evening, ride safe, and see you next time.
Down the way, not too far, an old-time rockabilly coffee bar. Wrecking machine tucked in the back, Elvis singing about a Cadillac. I'm on a BSA, been riding all day. Leather's on, goggles too, tramping, I don't know what you wanna do. My baby's on a Vincent, has been for quite a while. She said it's rocking just her style.
So let's ride,
so let's ride,
so let's ride.
Turn up, I got Dolby Kims, American rocker as a matter of fact.